from Mondakistan to the Flathead. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, look at the timing on that one. The from Mondakistan to the Flathead intro liner rolling. We recorded that one a long time ago. Well, speaking of from Mondakistan to the Flathead, we've got Tim in Savage out there on the Mondakistan border. He's going to be sidekicking with me for the next couple of hours here for this special Christmas Eve show. And, of course, I'm here in the Flathead. So from Mondakistan to the Flathead. In fact, it was actually kind of funny. Tim and I, he said, hey, I'm on the line if you're ready to get me hooked in for the show this morning. I'll get connected here in a second. I'm doing some warm-up music, though, Tim. It's like, you know, it's Christmas Eve. I had to just shut the news off for a few minutes. I needed just some music to get ready for a Christmas Eve show. Tim, how you doing? Merry Christmas to you.
I'm doing great, brother. It's Merry Christmas to you. And yeah, my warm-up music is Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Between that and Mannheim Steamroller, I mean, there's nothing that gets me more pumped for a great day of celebrating Christ's birth.
That's right. That's right. Well, and it's a busy day for you, I know, because not only are you one of our great callers into the show, but you're also a pastor. You're also a county school superintendent. You're also about eight other things with about eight other hats that you wear. So I can't wait to hear what your Christmas message is going to be and all that and more. But yeah, I threw on a Toby Keith. Well, I turned on like the AI DJ on my music playlist. And so it was random gym song music to then a Toby Keith song came on. And, you know, hearing a Toby Keith song, it reminded me, you know what? We've got soldiers that are deployed right now. We've got families that are without their loved ones who are out there. Maybe they're floating around in the Caribbean to help out with the Venezuela situation. Maybe they're somewhere else. But it reminded me yesterday, I got a great phone call from a friend of mine. He is now a battalion commander here in the Montana Army National Guard, and he's also a public affairs officer. But he said, hey, Aaron, I know you've interviewed troops overseas that are deployed during the holidays. Would you want to do that again? I said, heck yeah. So I basically, I told him, I said, look, here's the studio number. If we can't coordinate a specific time ahead of time, just call in whenever. We will sneak you guys on, because what better thing could we do today than sneak on a couple of soldiers deployed overseas right now?
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah. And, you know, speaking of Toby Keith, I mean, there's so many people that go Hollywood that are so far left. But, I mean, Toby Keith was a true American patriot, and he loved America. He loved the troops. And especially this time of year, he was a great ambassador.
Yeah, I just missed him. Apparently he had showed up at Combat Outpost Wilderness, Afghanistan, either before, I think maybe he showed up after I got back home or something like that. But I always laugh. It was like when I was a little kid in elementary school, you know, then you go to junior high and then they get the new playground equipment at the elementary school. It's like, oh, they couldn't get the new playground equipment when I was there, but they get it after I leave. You know, oh, Toby Keith wasn't at the Combat Outpost when I was there, but he shows up after. Pretty funny, though.
Well, I think he posted on Twitter, just missed seeing Aaron Flint. Can't believe it.
I think he did. That's not fake news. That is not fake news.
No, not at all.
All right. Well, Tim and Savage from Mondakistan to the Flathead. Tim and Savage is with us here for the next couple hours. And then we got some great guests from 8 to 10 as well. So stand by. We'll be back with Montana Talks. And by the way, yeah, we're taking your phone calls for the next couple hours as well. So if you want to jump in on the conversation, you got a special Christmas message, you got something you want to talk about, give us a call.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mainly sunny to partly cloudy, with a high of 51. Tonight, becoming cloudy, chance of seeing some light rain, a low near 35. On Christmas Day, occasional sun, chance of seeing some light rain, high near 54. Thursday night, cloudy, a low near 36. High of 56 on Friday, mainly sunny. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
Hey, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
a lot of you are going to be traveling or you're traveling to and from during the holidays and on through New Year's. And I'll tell you what, make sure you stop in and grab a bag of beef jerky. Well, of course, I don't need to tell you that. If you're going to be driving across Montana, you're going to need some snacks. And I'll tell you what better snack than good old beef jerky? It's got the protein. It's got that good, healthy fat in it as well that your body needs, that your system needs. If you want to focus on making America healthy again heading in to 2026, well, I'll tell you what, keep your eye out for beef jerky from Reminisce Angus Ranch. You guys have heard us talk with Brian Massard out of Dillon, Montana. Tell you what, he's got great products, not only the Reminisce Angus Ranch beef jerky, but if you want to get some high-quality steaks, some, you know, ground beef, even beef bacon, you name it, you're going to taste why Reminisce Angus delivers the finest quality regeneratively grown beef. And tell you what, it's just so good. But you can find it in a lot of town pump locations. You can find the Reminisce Angus beef jerky. You can find their beef, their steaks, and more. Also in some of the town and country stores as well. So, yeah, like I say, if you're driving around, listening to Montana Talks or listening on the Montana Talks app, this holiday season and on through New Year's, check out Reminisce Angus Ranch. You can also go to their website and order direct, remangus.com. All right, Tim and Savage with us on the phone lines here. Tim, I got to get your reaction. Did you hear yesterday's show? I had the one and only Dr. Art Laffer on the show, which I was just geeking out because I'm like, holy cow, I actually got Art Laffer to join me on the radio show.
It was great, and I sent you a message the day before, and I don't think people realize what a great opportunity that is. I mean, this is a guy that helped shape taxation theory and economic theories through the Reagan era, and you know, and it kind of was the leading edge of the Reagan revolution and the comeback after the disastrous Carter economy. And for him to be, you know, to be around still, I mean, I didn't even realize he was still alive, and then to be willing to get on a Montana statewide radio show, I mean, it was amazing. I loved listening to him. I wish he would have shared more about Reagan's history and about being able and working with the president, but it was just so cool to hear him. And man, he doesn't seem like he's in his 80s. He sounded like he was a 40-something just raised, you know, I'm just going to pop in and talk to this Aaron guy before I head to the gym.
Yeah, he was firing on all cylinders. Yeah, 85 years old. He said that on the radio. I was like, holy cow, he sounded great. Unlike me, he has a great radio voice, and he was just firing on all cylinders. And I loved how he said, you know what, I got another 50 years to go or so. Boy, he sure sounded like it. But, yeah, in the 70s, he really started getting big with this movement, you know, and then, of course, Rush Limbaugh, you know, wrote about the Laffer curve. That's where I first, as a kid in junior high school, heard about Art Laffer, was because Rush Limbaugh, in his book, See, I Told You So, wrote about the Laffer curve. But in the 70s, Dr. Art Laffer was saying, hey, if we cut taxes, we can actually increase revenue. That sometimes if you take more from people, you're not going to get more from people. You keep taking from people, they're just going to stop providing for you. And look at the way that has played out over and over, even right here in Montana. Governor Gianforte, the Republican supermajority in the legislature in the 21 session, cut taxes, revenues soared. They did it again in 23, cut taxes, revenues soared. President Trump, back in his first term in 2016, cut taxes. And what happened? You had Democrats back here in Montana like Steve Bullock claiming that there was going to be this massive shortfall in the Montana budget because of the Trump tax cuts. Instead, we got a Trump bump in revenue that actually showed up. I mean, ever since I was a kid and I first read Rush Limbaugh's book, we have been seeing this, we have been preaching this, and yet so many in the media, even still to this day, they still try to count tax cuts as spending, that it's going to cause a shortfall in budgets. And it just plays out time and time again, just like Art Laffer has said it would.
Well, and it's basic economic theory. I remember back in the 80s in college, I'm taking microeconomic theory and macroeconomic theory at Rocky. And even then, part of that, the main part of anything in an economic decision is your personal choice and the individual doing what's best for them. And then anybody, the individual doing what's best for them is going to be what's best for the economy. And so if everybody's doing what's best for them, that means let more money be in their pocket, let them be incentivized to earn more, to make more, to be more productive, and then that filters through the economy. And that's just the basic thing about the Laffer curve, is that it recognizes that human drive to be incentivized into working hard. And that's the key component of that, is that the curve is that there is a maximum point there that if you can have maximized government revenue through income, through any sort of a taxes, but you raise that tax rate higher, you actually will decrease government income or government revenue because you are disincentivizing work. And that's such a key component of it. Reagan, way back in the day, he noted he was paying up to 91% of his income into taxes. And that is completely disincentivizing the willingness to work.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you and I were talking a little bit about how, man, I wish we could have talked more history, you know, Trump economy, Reagan economy, his early days with Dr. Art Laffer. But he said, look, he said, I never do radio. I do Kudlow's radio show. That's it. The only reason I did your radio show is because you wanted to talk property taxes. So I'm, and he was singularly focused. He wanted to hammer home this property tax message and capping property taxes. Taxes so that people aren't getting hammered by you know, the fact that property taxes are based off of the value of your homes. And I was more than happy to let him keep hammering that point home, because it is still desperately needed here in Montana. So I'll bet we kicked a little bit of a hornet's nest yesterday with that show with Dr. Art Laffer. Quick break. More to follow with Tim and Savage. Plus, we're taking your calls right after this.
Securing America.
The president announced a reinvestment in Navy shipbuilding earlier this week. However, there is something that was left unsaid. The U.S. Navy has to play catch-up to China. A congressional report issued earlier this year states that China's Navy has now passed the U.S. in the number of battle force ships. China is said to have over 370 in an effort to supplant U.S. influence in the Indo-Pacific and be ready to deal with the military escalation concerning Taiwan. Secretary of the Navy John Phelan says that through the re-increase in shipbuilding,
we will have more tonnage and firepower under construction than ever before in our history.
The president says,
we're going to ensure the USA is the most powerful fleet anywhere in the world.
While Secretary of War Pete Hegseth says,
new and better ships will provide that deterrent today and for generations to come.
Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Yeah, you're stuck with me till Christmas, but we got a great Christmas Eve show coming up for you here on Montana Talks. Aaron Schofield is the Montana director for a group called Promise 686, mobilizing church communities to care for vulnerable children. We'll have him on the show, along with Steve Scanson, the director of church engagement for an organization called Communio. That and more Wednesday's Montana Talks.
It's time for the Daybreak Ag Report from the Western Ag Network.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Russell Nimitz.
Well, there's absolutely no question that U.S. farm and food product exports create a lot of value and generate economic activity within and outside of the agricultural sector. In general, increased exports of agricultural products lead to higher demand for transportation services, packaging materials, and the additional employment and activities required to ship exports. In 2023, the value of U.S. ag exports, comprising commodities and food products, reached $175.5 billion. In turn, these exports generated an additional $186.9 billion in economic activity. Exports of bulk, unprocessed commodities like soybeans and corn, valued at $74.2 billion, generated an additional $66.2 billion in economic activity in 2023. Now, if you include the value of the export themselves, U.S. agricultural exports generated a total economic output of $362.4 billion that year. Put another way, every $1 of U.S. Every $1 of U.S. agricultural products exported generated a total of $2.06 of domestic economic activity on average. Stay with us. One more ag news right after this.
Montana producers know the labor shortage isn't a distant problem. It's hitting home. That's why the Montana Stock Growers Association is hosting the first ever Agriculture Labor Summit January 21st and 22nd at the Northern Hotel in Billings. Join fellow producers, ag leaders, and policy experts for 2 days of open discussions and practical solutions. We'll cover everything from strengthening our domestic workforce from navigating tools like the H-2A program. If labor is on your mind, this is the place to be. Learn more at the Ag Labor Summit event page at mtbeef.org.
At Ag West, we know ag financing like you know office hours are all the hours. For over a century, we've supported the people who are the heart of ag and believe you deserve a financial partner who works as hard as you do. You can find us anytime, day or night, at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer. Equal housing lender.
Well, since it is Christmas Eve, this next story is for all the kiddos out there, or at least all you kid-at-heart adults. This week, the USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service issued a transit permit to Mr. S. Nicholas Claus of the North Pole, a distributor with Gifts and Good Cheer, Inc. Now, they say the permit allows reindeer to enter and exit the United States between the hours of 6 p.m. on December 24th and 6 a.m. on Christmas Day, December 25th, local time, through or over any U.S. border port. Veterinary officials have ensured that Santa's reindeer met all entry requirements before issuing the permit. It was also noted, though, on the health certificate that one reindeer, Rudolph, has a minor physical anomaly. However, APHIS officials were also quick to point out and indicated that Rudolph's red nose, while bright, was normal for him and certainly not a concern. Some very important news here on Christmas Eve as we all get ready to celebrate Christmas tomorrow. Merry Christmas, everyone. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Thanks, Russell, and Merry Christmas to you and your fellow Chinook sugar beaters as well. We've got Tim and Savage with us here for the next couple hours. Eventually, we'll start sharing some of our favorite Christmas times, our favorite Christmas memories, things like that, and, of course, invite you to do the same. Or if you got something else you want to talk about, you want to stick with the hard news, we can stick with the hard news, too. Big news came out of the Montana Supreme Court yesterday. My printer has given me some troubles here this morning, but this was a Billings Gazette article that I printed up. But, Tim, this caught your eye as well because you sign up for that Montana Supreme Court digest. The climate kids rebuffed, at least for now, by the Montana Supreme Court.
Yeah, really interesting. And by the way, I love – Bowen Greenwood has done such an amazing job on, you know, elevating – that important position of clerk of the Supreme Court. I mean, it's an elected position. It's a party-affiliated position, and he's just knocking it out of the park with the work he's doing. I love getting these updates. But, yeah, this update was really interesting here. You know, they made the decision that there is no urgency or emergency factors that exist. I mean, these poor kids being, used as pawns by their parents, the health kids and others, the Supreme Court basically said, look, there's no emergency here. You waited till 7 months after the legislature, and then you're trying to go back and say, oh, my gosh, there's this horrible emergency. We need to overturn everything the legislature did because the glaciers are melting. Are the glaciers growing or melting today? I forgot.
Yeah, exactly.
There is no emergency here. And, of course, we've got Fussy Bussy in here as well. As named as one of the plaintiffs in this, but look, there's no emergency here. You can't manufacture an emergency due to lack of diligence, and so they cited some other great stuff. So yeah, I was impressed. Our left leading Supreme Court made a good decision here and said that there is no emergency that requires them to go in and try to overturn everything the legislature did.
Yeah, well, and it was interesting because it was Monday. We had Speaker of the House Brandon Lear out of Savage talking about a lot of these judicial issues, and he was touting, of course, the MEPA reforms that were delivered by the Montana legislature, revising the Montana Environmental Policy Act, which in many ways has just been duplicitous to the NEPA. You know, you've had MEPA at the state level, NEPA at the national level, and it's like, do we really need two of these things doing, you know, with extra red tape, extra regulations? And so so it's a rebuke for the climate kids for now. I still think the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court will continue pushing the climate alarmist nonsense, although with it being an election year in 2026 and Judge Dan Wilson on the ballot, I think Judge Dan Wilson's going to pick up a lot of steam this year. We'll see if maybe that keeps the left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court a little bit in check. But, yeah, basically what they're telling the climate kids and their crazy left-wing parents that are using them as human shields in this war on American energy is they're saying, hey, you got to go to the district court first. You don't just come straight to the Montana Supreme Court. And yeah, why did you wait till? Let's see. Yeah, so back to it here with Tim and Savage. So Tim, what did you want to share basically when it comes to the Montana Supreme Court? The main thing I wanted to note is that what they were trying to, you know, they've already gotten a victory in these left-wing courts here in Montana by getting their climate alarmist agenda, you know, shoved into every single decision-making process. But then the legislature came in and said, okay, well, we're going to revise some of these things like MEPA and things like that. And the climate kids are using, you know, the climate alarmist agenda again to try to shut down any of the bills that came out of the legislative session. Some, you know, I think three different bills in particular, and so that's what they're trying to do, is just once again, you know, get these judges, get these Supreme Court justices to abuse their positions of power to push the Democrat Party's climate alarmist agenda.
Well, and they keep leaning back on the Constitution. And when they rewrote the Constitution in 72, and it does have a part here, it says Article 2, Part 2, Section 3, says all persons are born free and have certain inalienable rights. They include the right to a clean and healthful environment, the right to pursuing life's basic necessities, enjoying, defending the lives and liberties, acquiring, possessing, and protecting property, and seeking their safety, health, and happiness in all ways. And enjoying these rights, all persons recognize corresponding responsibilities. And so they've latched on to this part here about clean and healthful environment. And it sounds beautiful. It's a great aspirational message there. But I don't believe that the framers of our Constitution back 50-plus years ago intended that to mean there will be no use of fossil fuels, there'll be no energy, and then we're all going to live like greenies out in the wilderness. I mean, I don't think that's what they meant there. Also, recognize this written in the early 70s. And yeah, there was the growth of industry in America. There was a lot of concern about acid rain, and there was a lot of stuff that, you know, those smokestacks were belching a lot of garbage into the environment. But to look at that and say that applies to 2025 today, and therefore we can't have smokestacks that are emitting nothing but steam or anything like that, I think it's just a twist of what was the intent of this was. And that's what they keep coming back to, is leaning back onto this constitutional statement.
Yeah, and you know, it's just, to me, it's also just laughable. You've got these far left wing activists like Ryan Bussey, who's now grown adult kids are a part of the climate kids lawsuit. Oh, my kids can't go skiing because of climate change. And I'm sure there's people who can't afford to go skiing out there that are sitting there saying, oh, must be nice, jack wagon. Oh, you want to kill my business. You want to kill my job. You want to kill my industry because your kids need to go skiing. But to use that same right to a clean and healthful environment, aren't his kids harming the environment by driving up to the ski hill and burning carbon dioxide in the process? It's just a bunch of phony, hypocritical BS. So that people like Ryan Bussey and these Democrat activists and these Democrat politicians can pocket a bunch of cash in the process, shaking people down to fund their lawsuit and to fund their PR scam. All right, back right after this.
Implant featured products are... Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And of course, the number for you, if you want to jump in on the show this morning, 406-294-0970. You can also message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Tim, you know, speaking of Fussy Bussy, that's what John Jackson, the Joker from X, calls him. You know, this is actually going to be a big story here heading into 2026, of course, is the midterm elections. And which sacrificial lamb are the Democrats going to try to throw up against Ryan Zinke this time around, right?
Yeah, because they just can't accept that Montana is deeply conservative, but they still have to have somebody. And honestly, I can't even remember who the Democrat the Congress nominee was this last time around. I saw him at the Richland County Fair, and he was running up against Troy Downey, and he didn't have a chance in the world. I didn't even know why he was even bothering. But yeah, you're exactly right. They must throw up somebody. They've got to have some sort of a sacrificial lamb that goes out there and at least tries to make a point. But there's really no shot at all, because the ideas and their concepts are just not in line with Montana values.
Yeah, so I don't know if you saw this. I think it was the liberal Montana Free Press. Tom Lutie, who actually did a good job for the Billings Gazette, very relatively good job for the Billings Gazette. I know that the Colstrip folks didn't like his Colstrip coverage, but you know, he was probably more fair than some of the others on the political coverage, at least. But he's writing for them now, and he did a piece. Apparently, there's been some polling that's been going on, and there's some liberal Democrat pollster. They must be getting paid by Bussy's buddies, because they released internal polling that suggests that Ryan Bussy would somehow have the lead over Ryan Zinke. And it's just so laughable. It's just so funny. You can tell, obviously. It's very interesting, though, because apparently Bussy was about to announce that he was going to run for that congressional seat, and apparently the powers that be told him to stand down, you know, after he lost the governor's race to Governor Gianforte by 20 points, right? But I think this is Bussy trying to get his name back out there, because he wants to jump back in. But basically, it was this Democrat polling firm that whenever they released public results, it's not based on actual factual evidence. They're releasing public results to try to steer the public, or at least the political parties, into a certain direction. So, but it would be really funny if Bussy jumped back in. Maybe Monica Tranel tries to run again. And then you've got these two other guys that have already thrown their hat in the ring. One guy doesn't even live in the Western Congressional District, but is, like the Democrats love, jumping the border, crossing the border to run in another congressional district. And, you know, and you can just see it. It's so fake and it's so phony. They realize that they have to go back to the middle. But instead of actually going back to the middle, they're just going to prop up these fake, phony, moderate candidates. Oh, well, we're veterans. Oh, well, I'm a rancher or whatever. And we know the story. It's going to be just like, oh, well, he's a dirt farmer from Big Sandy. We know how that one turned out for Montana in the country. Not very good. So I think heading into 2026, a lot of Montanans are just I don't even think we need to tell them. I think they're just going to be naturally leery of another fake, phony Democrat pretending to be a moderate.
Well, it's frustrating. You see these things. They talk about the internal polling. Now, is this the same polling that you see when they release a statement that says, oh, well, a Kamala Harris and AOC ticket will take 49 out of the 50 states and they'll sweep the Electoral College? Or, you know, Tim Walz would be, you know, he would defeat Trump. And, like, where did they come up with this? And it's, and I just fear that people are not good consumers of the media, and they see that, and they're conditioned to believe, and they, you know, because they remember Tom Brokaw, and they remember, you know, when Meet the Press wasn't Meet the Depressed, and if they remember that you could actually trust the media, and you see this, and they don't realize this is not news, this is something that is being released, it's not real, and it's meant to try to stir up the people and try to make it appear that that's the case. And where there's absolutely no evidence on that at all, and other than maybe a left-wing echo chamber where they all talk to themselves and then they've convinced themselves that this is what reality is. But Ryan Busse, he's got no future in Montana politics whatsoever. And so I don't know why he keeps trying. It doesn't make any sense to me.
But I'm sure the Republicans are like, oh, yeah, go for it. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Egging him on.
Kamala Harris would be a great presidential candidate. I hope that she runs again. I hope that she hooks on with AOC. That would be fabulous to see anybody debating that pair.
Well, you know, you mentioned AOC, and AOC and Bernie Sanders, when they did that rally earlier this year, it was this year, right, earlier in Missoula. I mean, remember, two of the names that were either mentioned on the stage by AOC or had somebody with that last name on the stage at the rally. I think one of the Busse kids was at the rally and actually got to speak on the stage, and then AOC mentioned her favorite representative, Zoe Zephyr, the radical transgender activist from Missoula. And so that feels speculative, because what the Democrats are saying is, no, they need a fighter. They need, or somebody who's perceived to be a fighter. They need somebody who's this Mamdani-style, AOC-style activist to gin up their base. And so they see like a Fussy Busse or a Zoe Zephyr as somebody that would do that. But then you can see where the establishment Democrat Party is trying to prop up these fake phony moderates with no track record, no background that you can really look at and examine, so they can try to pull the wool over the eyes of Montanans. But yeah, I just think their party base is demanding a whacktivist like a Zephyr, yeah, or like a Busse.
Well, and you mentioned Zephyr, and you mentioned Bandami. Did you see who Mondami is going to be appointed as the fire commissioner for the largest fire department in the United States?
I did not. What's the story there?
He is appointing a lesbian to that role, and he has specifically said that he is going to do everything he can to appoint as many LGBTQ people to top positions in his administration as possible. No discussion about if they are, you know, prepared or have any experience or qualifications. As long as you check the box of not being a straight person, then you automatically. And bonus points if you have some mixed heritage as well. But absolutely no straight white people in his administration. And it just, I couldn't believe that. And it's, we've seen disastrous results when you've got these appointments to these positions that are not qualified, but because they check the boxes of making sure that they're appealing, and they're not appealing to whatever the base of the Democrat Party is. They're appealing to the extremes, and I don't understand. You would think that you would want to appeal to your base, but the base is not the far extreme radical side where everything is about rainbows.
Yeah. Well, and how did that work out in Los Angeles? Oh, they basically had all these lesbian fire chiefs, and then look at how disastrous the response was in Los Angeles with the Palisades fire. And, you know, most Americans, look, we don't really care what your background is. We just care that you're a competent firefighter. And by the way, thanks to all our firefighters and first responders who will be working over Christmas and away from their families to be there, ready to respond to help out. But, yeah, I don't think if anybody's house gets lit on fire over Christmas, they're going to be like, okay, now wait a minute. Before you send the firefighters, I need you to ensure that there's no straight white male showing up to put this fire out. I just need you to make sure of that one. All right, we got a caller on the phone lines. Let's go to Michael in Bozeman. Michael, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. A couple things. Back in the 70s when the Constitution was being rewritten for Montana, you got to remember that that's when the Carter administration said there's only 30 years of natural gas, so you have to build coal power plants. Obviously, the so-called energy experts were wrong. Now we got lots of coal and lots of natural gas. So, you know, they've created their own problem now is that government mandates are now coming back saying, whoops, sorry, you could have had natural gas. The other thing is, you guys are right, whatever the Democrats throw up is going to be a puke. So you have the right words there. So Merry Christmas to everybody. Take care.
Merry Christmas to you as well, Michael. And I know you've got a background in, you know, electric utility type stuff. So appreciate your insight there. Yeah, Tim and Savage, your response with about 30 seconds before the break.
Well, and what he said, and as I was saying that, I used the word throw up, and I thought that in the back of my mind, that was yeah, exactly right there. This was a different world in the 70s. There was this fear-mongering, yeah, we were going to all be extinct in 30 years with the Ice Age, but it was the Ice Age that was coming. We were going to run out of fossil fuels, and we had an impending Ice Age, but it's all of this same garbage. And we're seeing it over and over and realizing, no, we are not having this dramatic impact on our world. We don't want to be throwing everywhere, but the world will survive with or without humans and their impact. And yeah, it is exactly right. Totally different world in 1972.
We'll hold it right there.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Record-setting mass unvetted illegals between 2021-2023. Cases of worst-case needs remained elevated at 8.46 million households. And foreign-born population in the U.S. increased by more than 6 million, the largest increase over such a short period of time. And it goes on to say, you know, it stands at more than 53 million individuals making up the highest share of the American population ever, foreign born, what they're talking about. This immigration-driven increase in households contributed to a significant increase in housing demand, driving up housing prices.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, you've heard me talk about Ease, the official health solution right here on the Sean Hannity Show. Now that all the noise about Obamacare subsidies is thankfully behind us, at least for now, I want you and your family to focus on the best health care for the best price. Now, Ease Total Comprehensive Health is great for small business owners, and it also is better coverage for a lower price than what they're offering from the government. It's not insurance. It's better. It has no deductibles, no out-of-network nonsense. It costs much less than traditional plans. It comes with a free service that will help everyone find the best care. Plus, the folks that distribute Ease will show you how to stay compliant with the ACA. Now, if you own or work for a small business, you got to check out this company. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family. You owe it to your employees. Call them now, 888-888-EASE-123. Or go to their website, EASEFOREveryone.com/Sean. 888-EASE-123.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Mainly sunny to partly cloudy, with a high of 51. Tonight, becoming cloudy, chance of seeing some lighter rain, a low near 35. On Christmas Day, occasional sun, chance of seeing some lighter rain, high near 54. Thursday night, cloudy, a low near 36. High of 56 on Friday. Mainly sunny. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
So I wanted to take a look back at our top stories for 2025, but not just some list that we threw together. I wanted to look at our top stories for 2025 based off of your page views here in Montana. We've got the full top 10 list now posted. If you go to MontanaTalks.com or if you got the Montana Talks app on your smartphone, you'll see it there. Remember that Billings teacher who celebrated the assassination of Charlie Kirk? That one's on the list, including Trende Aragua in Montana.
Morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I really appreciate Michael and Bozeman calling in. talking about kind of the history and taking us back to the 1970s. Of course, I wasn't around in the 1970s, but I think Tim and Savage was, so he can fill us in here. But Tim, as I understand it here, so you look at the 1970s. You had the Nixon impeachment process, Nixon resignation, basically, and that led to all this blowback. Then the Democrats had all of this momentum. That's how you got this train wreck, like Jimmy Carter in office. But basically, it helped Democrats all across the country. It's kind of like, similar, when we look at the 2024 elections, Joe Biden and John Tester were such a train wreck for this country. They did so many bad things for this country. And the undermining of President Trump was so obvious, the Russia hoax, all of these hoaxes, that it led to America turning out in force for President Trump and the Republicans in 2024. And so the Democrats were able to capitalize on, the left was able to capitalize on that in the 70s. And so that's why in the 70s, they redrafted Montana's Constitution and got some progressive, if that's what you want to call it, stuff in there, like this right to a clean and healthful environment. But talking with Judge Dan Wilson, he went back and read the transcripts of the Montana Constitution. And when it comes to the right to a clean and healthful environment, when it comes to even things like the whole transgender debate, there, even with this so-called progressive post-Nixon 1970s era redraft of the Montana Constitution, the drafters' intent was nowhere near what these leftists on the Montana Supreme Court and in these Montana courts are trying to make it be with these outrageous held decisions and more.
Well, exactly right. Yeah, and that's why it's so important to go back to the transcripts and go back to the source documents on this. And that is key. 72 wasn't that long ago. We've got recordings. I mean, we've got, they've been digitized. So we have the debate. We have those discussions that went on, even back to the writing of the U.S. Constitution. We've got the Federalist Papers. We've got those other discussions that went back and forth. And so we can go back to that source material, and we make a mistake. And actually, that's kind of what my sermon today is about, is, looking back, what source documents do we have that when we reflect on what does Christmas mean and what do we use and what do we twist to fit our own vision of it today? And that's what the left is doing with the Montana Constitution, is that they're trying to say, well, this is exactly fitting today's situation, not recognizing. Now, that's not really what the intent was. And a lot of that was exactly what you described. It was a reaction to the reality of their world at that time. And so it doesn't fit what we believe today. And I've shared many times, I remember growing up in the 70s, we'd get those weekly readers. I loved the weekly readers. Those were so cool, getting them in elementary school. But I remember reading those, and it talked about the impending ice age, and we needed to change our ways, and the world is going to come to an end, and whereas we only have X number of years left of natural gas, and we're burning all this up, and we totally went off the rails with that. And the result of it was the Carter recession. And it caused a horrible impact on our economy. And it took years and years for that to recover. And that brings us full circle to what we started talking about an hour ago, is recognizing the Reagan Revolution coming in and using the concepts of Dr. Art Laffer and saying, look, we can't tax our way out of this situation. We need to let the reins go on this economy and let the people do this and trust people to do individual things. More government has never been the solution to anything that's gone wrong in this country.
That's right. Well, I'm glad you referenced what your Christmas message is going to be when you give your sermons later today out there in Savage and out there on the Mondakistan border country. Because, I want to talk more about that, plus maybe hear some of your favorite Christmas times or some of your favorite Christmas stories. You name it. We never know what direction we're going to go with on the show. Plus, we're taking your phone calls. So that we'll get to that coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, back with Montana Talks live on this Christmas Eve. Back after this.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why? ready?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.